I just want to tell you a joke. This is called Bosom Bluebirds. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind, and they may be seen in the church basement. A bean summit will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow.
Music.
At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, "What is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice."
I've seen all of this before.
Not our choir, no way. Well, so hard your mouth. How many likes this time? There is, how many of you heard of Joyce Meyer? Joyce Meyer wrote a book called Me and My Mouth, I think it's called. Me and My Big Mouth. I had never read it, but I really like the title. And I heard her say this. She said, we had trouble when we start selling these books, because people will buy the book and they will send it to the boss or to the relative or the in-laws, and they wouldn't put their name on it. So people phoned their ministry and thought that they had sent it. So they had to make a law that if you order that book, you have to put your name on it. Me and My Big Mouth. Well, the story that I want to focus on is what I sort of continued from last Saturday. And it comes out of Ephesians chapter 6. Remember Ephesians chapter 6. So here is the story. Uriah the king had died. The whole society was in a bit of a crisis, a spiritual crisis, a leadership crisis, a financial crisis, a cultural crisis. They had declared, in fact, the first five passages talks about how the culture had fallen away from God. They declared what was good, bad, or what was good, evil, and what was evil was good. It was dark, it was light, and it was light, it was dark. And in the midst of this, there is a wealthy aristocrat, Isaiah, who has lost his hero, the king. And then he has a revelation of God Almighty sitting on the throne. We don't know how he had that revelation. Was it a vision, a dream? Was it when he's transported into heavenly and he saw the throne? It doesn't really say how he did that. I think he was in the temple worshiping, and he had an encounter with God where he saw in the spirit, he saw the throne, high, God high and lifted up. And he heard the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And the train filled the temple. The glory of God came in the temple. And he was shook to the core. In the midst of a crisis of his society, he had a revelation that God is still on the throne. He still rules and he still reigns. Some of you need that revelation today. And then, which happens frequently when you have an encounter with God and his glorious presence, you discover that you're not as good as you think you are. You discover your own pride. How many has ever discovered your own pride? And you think, "Oh, woe me, of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips among others with unclean lips. I have seen the Lord Almighty." Compared to him, we may not be as holy as we think we are. But he mentioned specifically his lips. What is it with these lips of mine and yours? That sometimes we speak things that is not glorifying God. Sometimes we speak things that is contrary to the will of God. Sometimes we become a little gossipy. Sometimes we become a little critical. Sometimes we become judgmental in our hearts. And we can see what's wrong with everything. Sometimes we're not declaring the will of God. And there in the midst of this, God sends his angel. The angels who have now been singing, "Holy, holy." He takes a coal. He takes a coal, hot coal, a burning coal. And he went to Isaiah and he touches his lips and takes away his sin and his guilt. Do you know how many believe that? Remember, Jesus came to do what? To baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And what's the fire for? To burn away the chaff. Why is God doing this to Isaiah? Because he is about to use him as a mouthpiece, an instrument to declare the will of God to a society that has turned away from God, a society that has called what is good evil and what's called evil good, who had hearts that was closed to the will of God. He was preparing him, setting him apart to declare what God is saying to that culture. My friends, if you are born again and you have the Holy Spirit, which you have if you're born again, you will also be set apart. So what did he say? What did Isaiah say? Well, read the next 60 pages, 60 chapters of Isaiah, and you'll find out. But let me just give a couple of steps. If you turn the page to chapter 7, there is the young king who is now taking over, Ahaz. And Ahaz is scared. He's worried. Because there's an enemy, there's two other kings getting around to attack him. And so he's scared. And Isaiah comes and he tells him this. Say to him, "Be careful, Ahaz. Keep calm and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of fire," referring to those kingdoms. Why is he saying that? Because he had a revelation that God reigns and rules and he's on the throne. And he is in control of this. And God knows the end from the beginning. And he has heard from God and says, "This, what you're afraid of, is not going to happen. Don't be afraid." How many likes to hear that? Of course, that's not the only time. There's another time in chapter 36 and 37 when Hezekiah is also afraid of the enemy coming to destroy Israel. And Isaiah steps in again and declares what God is saying. How can he do that? Because Isaiah has had a revelation that God is on the throne and he's been set apart. His mouth is set apart to declare the will of God. Are you with me? How many of you have the revelation? How many of you have a revelation? If you're born again, you haven't had a revelation. Can I just say something? And every revelation that you have is an encounter with God. I mentioned last time about Martin Luther. Martin Luther was this tormented monk who couldn't be holy enough. He couldn't figure out how could he be ever accepted by God. How could he ever be holy enough? He beat himself. He confessed continuously. But he could never have peace. Until one day, half of the scripture verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, he realized that the righteous live by faith. He discovered it was not by how many prayers you made, and it was not how much you gave, and how much you did, and how much you did, and how much you did. It was by his faith that he lived. You are saved through faith. It is his grace. You're saved by his grace through faith. It's a gift from God. So let no man shall boast, but declare the goodness of God. It's a gift that you receive by faith. And guess what he did? Gift was more than that. He began to declare it. So that today, we don't even question that. That has become an automatically part of the gospel preaching. That you are saved by faith. By his grace. But it came through him. And God revealed it to him. And he began to write hymns and songs. And he began to write books. And he began to preach and declare it. And it impacted the whole world. Actually. It's another story, but it did. What am I saying? That when you had a revelation, you had an encounter. When you had an encounter, declare it. Declare it. I mean, says amen to that. What did the disciples do in the New Testament? They had an encounter. And what did they declare? What I've seen, what I've heard, what I've touched, they declare. Amen. I was talking to God the other day. Every morning I used to pray like this. I said, Jesus, what can I give you today? For the last few weeks, three more, maybe weeks. And he said, give me joy. Good. I'll give it you. But then when I look back on my day, I realized, you know what? I wonder if I really give him joy. Oh, I talk to God and I give him all my garbage. I told him, you gotta go fix this, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, God. And if you don't do this, God, this is gonna happen. And I think, God, you really gotta fix this and do this. And I don't think I give him joy. I really think I gave him lots of headaches. And I thought, how do I give God joy? Jesus says in John 15, this, I told you this that you may have joy. And you may have it to the full. The question is, what did he tell me? He said, if you obey my commandment, you will love me in the next. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so that you may joy be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Friends, because I'm born again, I have a right and a privilege to declare what he's done for me. And what am I declaring? His love for me. What he did at the cross. In the morning, my friends, I awakened and I can begin to declare what he has already given me. I have a right and a privilege to declare it. Hallelujah. I am redeemed. I am delivered. I am a son of God. I am saved by his blood. He has set me apart to be forever and ever and evermore to be with him. Where did that joy come from? When you begin to declare, my friends, what he has already done for you. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Hallelujah. It is time to sing. Janet, God has loved me. And but even though he hasn't given me a singing voice, what is he doing? He's saying, being filled with the Spirit actually happens when you begin to raise your voice and declare it. My friends, if you don't declare it, you are not experiencing the filling of the Spirit. You're not going to have the joy. A lady from the healing lodge asked me. She said, "I don't know how to feel God." So I said, "Do you ever open your mouth? Do you ever worship?" And you see, if you sit and you don't open your mouth, bless your heart. I was there. I sat there with both my hands in my pocket and my mouth shut, waiting for the preacher to preach. Until a friend of mine said, maybe you should get your hands out of your pocket. My friends, declare it in song, in worship, in prayer. Declaring what he's already done. Remember this, that when you have an encounter, when you have a revelation, you have an encounter. And when you have an encounter, you have something to declare. So, there was a man called Billy Graham. Anybody ever heard of Billy Graham? Bill Graham got saved as a young teenager in a revival meeting across from the high school. And he had the revelation of Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That what you believe, if you believe in your heart that he rose from the dead and declare it in your mouth that he's Lord, you're saved. So he had an understanding, and then he had an anointing for getting people up in huge stadiums, up to 100,000 people. And there he packaged his message in such a way that he had people declare with their mouth. Now, what did he do? And I'm not going to tell you everything he preached, but his message was something like this, to make it generic. It was that every person had a lonely in the heart. There is an empty space inside of you. And because it is meant for God, because you're unhappy, because you feel that loneliness, you fill it with what? All kinds of stuff trying to be happy. You fill it with all the wrong things. And that's called sin. And he said, Jesus wants to take that is you're filled it with, and he wants to replace it with him. And he said, and he then talks about the cross and how Jesus died on the cross and how he forgives you for your sins and how you can ask him into your life. And people recognize, that's me. And then he says, now come to the altar. And they come and they sing this old hymn. Come, how's it going, Maddie? Just come just as I am. Is that right? Come just as Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. And so they come. Hunger. And then they come up. And what does he do? He has already explained to them what Jesus did. They have already had a revelation that he rose from the dead. So in their hearts, they have already encountered the truth. Now he leads them in declaring it with their lips. That Jesus is Lord of their life. And we have Chris Clark. Some of you know Chris Clark. That's how he got saved. That's how God touched him. And people walk out of that place. Hear me. And yes, they discover about 6% of them follows Jesus. But the other 93 get out of that place. And then they forget. And then they, well, they talk themselves out of it. Oh, well, it was just an emotional moment. It just didn't count. Before you know it, they just backslid. What did they forget? To declare the truth of what Jesus had done. They wake up the next morning and there is nothing on their lips. My friends, that's how you lose your encounter. Because God intended for you to be his mouthpiece. Do you know what he calls that in the New Testament? He doesn't call it, Jesus doesn't call it a mouthpiece. Do you know what he calls it? A witness. He calls it a witness. Do you know what he also calls it? An ambassador. What is an ambassador? In Calgary, there's a Danish embassy. An ambassador there has been told what the policies are of the Danish government. And when he talks to the government of Canada, he declares what the kingdom of Denmark is saying. When you're an ambassador for Jesus, you declare what God Almighty is saying about his kingdom. Do you know what he also said? Jesus called his disciples apostles. What are apostles? They are a Roman army term. Apostles were generals sent into occupied territory to impact their culture for Rome. That the values of Rome, the laws of Rome, were implanted in that culture. In the same way, we are sent by God to declare. But my friends, it starts here. Amen. It starts here. It starts here. Declaring what Jesus has already done for you and who you are. What did Jesus do? Because he knew that they were going to struggle. He knew that it was going to be not that easy in the midst of a culture who hated Christians. What did he do? He began to declare all of them before they ever got there, who they were. You are what? Holy, you are a salt and you are light. Of your home, yes. Of Mimkin, yes. But of the whole world. So how about waking up in the morning, tomorrow morning, and says, I am the salt and I am the light. And you know what he also said? He said, wherever you go, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. That's a pretty nice commitment. He said to us, just like Isaiah said to Ahaz, he said, do not lose heart. In this world, you will have trouble. How many has ever had trouble? Do not lose heart. In this world, you have trouble, but I have overcome the world. You know what anyone he does? He gets them baptized in the Holy Ghost so that their tongue praises him and declares his goodness, even though they may face trials, death, and destruction. How do I know that? Because when they're in prison and they don't know where they're going to be executed the next day, guess what they did? Some of them fell asleep. How can you fall asleep? They don't know where they're going to be executed next day. Because you know that the King of Kings, he is still on the throne. That's how we know. It's another story of Paul. So Paul and Silas, who's in prison, I think it is. And what did they do in the prison? I don't know what I would do, but I can tell you what I would do. I think I know very well what I would do. I'd say, God, do something to get me out of here. And I would think about all the things that I would lose out on, and all the things that can go wrong, and I would get myself in the sand and worry and worry. You know what I did? They sang hymns. And my friends, the prison back then were dungeons. Smelly, yucky, horrible places. But they sang hymns. And there was an earthquake. And the doors were open. Let me just share quickly, and then I'm done. Why would I ever declare what Jesus has already done for me? What good will that do? Number one, it'll give you joy. Number two, it'll give you faith. Remember where faith comes from? So why not be you the one speaking it? Number three, when the enemy comes against you, that's the greatest weapon you have. Jesus said, it is written, he said to Satan. You've been given the weapons. That's not carnal. But it's the weapons that are spiritual. It's your sword. Destroying the works of the enemy. How many believe you have the Holy Ghost in you? And God has given you words. If you don't know what His will is and what to declare, open it. Open it, my friends. Open it. Arise and shine. For your light has come and its glory is upon you. There's darkness over the people. There's deep darkness. But here's the good news. The glory of God has come on you. How many believes me? How many is ready to declare the goodness of God? How many ready to declare who you are? How many is ready to declare what Jesus says about you? You are a child of God. You are His workmanship. What He has begun in you, He will finish. That His hand is in you. Okay. I don't know if you do believe me. Isaiah 42. Let's just turn there for a minute. I will finish. Maybe. Isaiah 42. It's Isaiah. This is what the Lord says. The creator of the heavens, who stretch out the mount, who spreads out the earth, all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. Who is he talking about? Who has been given breath? If you're breathing, you're one of them. And life to those who walk on the earth. I, the Lord, have called you into righteousness. How many believe that God has called you into a right living with God? By the blood of Jesus, you've done it. You'll take whose hand? My hand. I'll keep you, and he'll keep you. You. And make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. You are a covenant people and a light for everyone. This little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine. Where is that little light of mine? It's in here. And some people, you will say, well, I'm messed up, I'm broken up, I don't feel like no light. I tell you one thing, the light shines the brightest in the crack pot. Because the cracks shows the light. Jesus, we sing a song, he's reckless. His love is reckless. And when I got out of that, my friend, is, can you imagine that God Almighty actually cares enough about me, little old hands? That's what I get at. That you actually don't care enough for your loved one and save me and rescue me. I mean, that is unbelievable. But when I get that, not just you. I think it's their identity. I am a child of God. I have eternity to be with my Savior. I will be with him. He calls me his own. He has rescued me. Hallelujah. I'm going to be embarrassed before you, but I don't care. Because God is a good God. Hallelujah. I'm a God. I'm a man. I will be a fool. Jesus, who died naked, first for me and you. Stan said to me once, Hans, I had to come back to the church because I had never seen the pastor jump up and down. I can just tell you, whatever it takes. So, Lord Jesus, I don't know how to be in this, but God, would you take me and make me a vessel? Make me an offering. And take my tongue, Lord, and may I speak praises to you, God. May I glorify you in every word I speak. May worship come out of my heart. May I come with praises, hymns, and songs. And when I speak to people, may I speak life and hope. When I speak to my spouse, may I speak life and hope. When I speak to my children and grandchildren, may I speak life and hope. When I speak to the community, God, may I speak life and hope. When I speak to my co-worker, may I speak life and hope. May I be the light and the salt of the earth. May I declare his praises. May I declare his goodness. May I declare what he says and has already said and has already done. May I declare that others may have an encounter with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I ask the worship?